Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
I don't want to oversimplify the analysis as you look at charts. However, it does seem to me, based on the setback I saw today in crude oil and Saudi Arabia saying to its OPEC friends, we're not going to play ball with you, that the $100 level might be very important for corn in terms of whether or not it challenges a downside support level of 670. Is that pretty much a good reading of things or no?
I think so. I think between the report and the global stocks and the global corn stocks especially being friendly and the bearishness of the beans and the wheat, if I pulled out the global ending stocks of the corn and I looked at just the U.S. ending stocks, I was not surprised that the USDA took that harvested acreage number down, and we went down to that sub-700 million bushel carryover level. I was thinking that probably what really helped the corn market was the day before the report. As you mentioned, the OPEC countries did not agree on a production increase, and the crude oil turned around from making a break below key support, below that $98 a barrel level, and that was further added to, in terms of strength, the day of the report on Thursday when crude oil made a run towards the 100-day moving average, which that's a moving average that's been intact for about 4 weeks now, Dave. So I think we're at an interesting inflection point here where the macro and micro are going to play out in the analysis. And what I mean by that is we've got the stock market below 12,000. We're down to the lowest point since March 21st. We're getting closer to the Japanese quake low, as economic fundamentals are getting priced in. Economic fundamentals have worsened this week. We have now gotten a turn back lower in the crude oil because the Saudis, as you say, are going to go it alone and increase output by themselves. So if my analysis is right and the mindset of getting corn hedges in place last week was based upon technicals and based upon the outside market weakness, not corn supply, then we're going to test that theory here today with, if we hold these lows in the outside markets, does that make the corn want to find some more willing sellers at the end of the week?
And you add on top of that that these prices are creating demand destruction.
They are. I just read this morning in Asia that Australian feed wheat for August shipment is about $90 a ton cheaper than U.S. corn, and Australian and Asian feed buyers are seeing a big pickup in movement to wheat rations if their government regulations allow it. And in countries like Japan, that's a lot more important to focus on, as their regulations may not allow for a quick switch from feeding corn to feeding wheat. But in a lot of these other Asian countries, I think the report yesterday, I liked what it said in terms of corn and beans. It essentially said we're tightening in supplies of corn, we're increasing in supplies of beans because demand in rationing in beans is occurring faster than corn. That all made sense to me. In the wheat report, though, I just didn't buy into it. I can't see a yield increase given the crop conditions in the southern plains being the worst they are in probably a decade or more, and no spring wheat planting really getting done in a timely manner, either in Canada or the United States. But so what I'm getting at is that wheat becomes a major leader, and we saw that in the wheat-corn spread yesterday, where that wheat went discount to the corn for the first time since 96 in terms of going 40-plus cents lower against the corn. We're seeing it again today where the wheat-corn spread is back to where the wheat is gaining about 10 to 15 cents to the corn. The wheat is a huge leader here in terms of the upside potential to the corn price. I'd say if I had to pick two commodities that would dictate where corn is headed and looking at the supply side of the equation, I would say wheat and crude oil are the two majors.
Would that wheat potential upside be blunted somewhat by what we're beginning to hear on the world front during harvest?
I think that the natural pressure of the seasonality of harvest is hitting the wheat. I do believe that. I think your point's well taken. But here again, Dave, I think that the USDA, they took the European numbers down nicely, but they boosted a bunch of other countries that I just don't buy that the crop is in the bag or in the hopper yet, and therefore they're going to probably have to come back and revisit that. They came out with a 66 or 666 million ton global production number yesterday. I'm still in that 645 camp because I don't think the United States and Europe and China had a good enough wheat crop to promote that we're on the top end of the five-year average. I think we're probably more likely on the bottom end of the five-year average. So I like the corn and bean numbers in terms of a real-time report and being able to plan the analysis from. But the wheat, I still think the USDA stuck in a couple weeks back at this point.
When USDA made their acreage and harvested acres deductions of 1.5 and 1.9 million acres yesterday, respectively, I think a couple of things maybe. One, it may take some volatility out of the end-of-the-month acreage report. And two, it really means that we have to have really good weather through pollination.
June weather is huge. I mean, if someone would say to me, if you're worried about the outside markets and you got what you wanted in the bean complex, and if wheat doesn't turn around, why don't you sell corn at these prices in terms of cash corn? And the answer is very simple, that the yield is not made, and the month of June is probably going to make or break us in terms of being able to get an above average or good yield versus another 3 to 4 bushels lower in terms of average yield. And I think that's where my mindset has always been, work from a standpoint that there are opportunities where the market may want to go down and correct, and the correction could be 10 to 15% based upon the outside markets and fund selling, and use the paper positions. This year in corn it seems even better because I'm seeing basis now 50 over in some areas for August shipment and August delivery. So if you spend 30 cents on a put and you end up being wrong by hedging, I'm guessing you're wrong because the supplies are getting tighter and that June weather wasn't that good. And if that's the case, your basis should more than offset your put costs. So that leaves your futures. What did futures do when you put the puts in place versus what did they do when you have to make the next determination? And if you can get another 60 to 70 cents up in the futures market, then I'd call that a really good hedging strategy because, again, that basis has theoretically paid for that put cost. And as far as swing objectives in the Dease corn, there's a couple I'm looking at right now based upon that May 12th low and the earlier movement from March to April, and that would suggest that we could get into that 725 to 754 level if we wanted to fulfill some swing objectives. So buying a 30-cent put, watching the basis to help pay for it, and with the idea that the futures market could go up another 50 to 60 cents from yesterday's breakout, then that would be a really good marketing plan between now and July 4th, in my view.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day, sir.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics.